From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Full moon open lines later this hour. Next hour, 2012, End Times and the Light Body with William Henry. Well, I watched it tonight, the lunar eclipse. Man, it was gorgeous out here in Los Angeles, just watching that beautiful look. There's pictures of it. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website, click the portion of the feature story that has the reference to space.com, and you'll be able to see the evolution of the eclipse. The last total lunar eclipse until 2010, and it occurred tonight with cameo appearances by Saturn, by the way, and the bright star Regulus on either side of the veiled full moon. Weather permitting for some of you, the total eclipse was seen from North and South America, and people out there in Europe and Africa, yes, they listen to us on Streamlink, will be able to see it high in the sky before dawn on Thursday. Well, a Navy missile soaring 130 miles above the Pacific smashed a dying U.S. spy satellite, probably destroyed a tank carrying 1,000 pounds of toxic fuel. Officials had expressed cautious optimism that the missile would hit the satellite, which was the size of a school bus, but they were less certain of hitting the smaller, more problematic fuel tank, whose contents posed what the Bush administration officials deemed a potential health hazard to humans if it landed intact. There are motives, by the way, and questions about this entire satellite shootdown. As a matter of fact, the former Assistant Secretary of Defense, Philip Coyle, doesn't buy the rationale that they just had to do it because of the fuel problem. He says, we didn't want this satellite to get in the hands of the wrong people. And there were also two other possibilities. One was to poke the Chinese, showing them that we can shoot down a satellite in a test. And the third reason was also to show off our missile defense capabilities. So, who knows? By the way, Atlantis, the orbiter, touched down on planet Earth after a 13-day mission to cement Europe's position on the International Space Station. The spacecraft and its crew installed a nearly 13-ton Columbus Space Lab, an achievement that makes Europe a full member of the $100 billion platform project. Atlantis landed at Florida's Kennedy Space Center. On the line with us now, Richard C. Hoagland, science advisor, head of the EnterpriseMission.com, best-selling author of Dark Mission, who has been watching the satellite shootdown for quite a while now. Richard, what do you think?
I think you and I were absolutely 100% right last night. This is a cover for something much more interesting. Remember the caller last night who brought up the eclipse and it was going to take place during the eclipse?
Mm-hmm.
He was 100% on target. I finally figured out how that piece of the puzzle fit into the much larger puzzle that we've written up on both darkmission.net and enterprisemission.com. People can go there and take a look. The moon part was, as I said last night, to communicate to the Chinese, the Russians, and everybody else that's going, that if they dare go with human beings and bring back stuff, we will shoot them down. That's, this whole thing has such ritual components. You know the ship was located off Hawaii at 19.5?
I know. That's the old degrees that you talk about.
Do you know that Secretary Gates, Secretary of Defense, was in Hawaii at 19.5 in the command center tonight, pushing the button to go while the president is in Africa?
Explain the significance of
19.5. Well, 19.5 is a hyperdimensional code. Anytime you see 19.5 in any one of these NASA missions, landings, launches, flybys, or in this case, the Navy, which is a related sister DOD agency to NASA, which we demonstrate in Dark Mission, it has to do with ritual. It has to do with Masons. It has to do with hyperdimensional physics. It has to do with secret space programs that nobody's supposed to know about. I mean, you remember that last week when they had the press conference on this, who was one of the members of the joint task force announcing this shootdown to the press?
Well, I don't know who.
NASA Administrator Mike Griffin. Now, what the hell does Mike Griffin have to do with a Navy shootdown of an Intel satellite? NASA had nothing to do with this, except if they are going back to the moon, a la, you know, George Bush, this was a clear message to the Chinese and the Russians, we will not let you bring any hyperdimensional physics or technology back with manned missions, and that's why Putin and the Chinese are very upset, and no one's going to let us know what the real game is, but we figured it out, and it's on our websites, and we talked about it here extensively on the one place where you can go for the rest of the story, coast to coast.
We got it. Richard, thanks for monitoring this story for us.
My pleasure, George.
It was truly an incredible say. Look, I spent 9 years with the Navy. I'm glad we have this technology, and they possibly don't. Finally, you know, the military performs with the utmost of precision on this one. And really, it's proud to see this happen. I mean, I'd rather have it than someone else, wouldn't you? An Air Force fighter pilot is dead after his jet and another fighter jet collided during a training exercise and crashed into the Gulf of Mexico. The other pilot was rescued, expected to survive. A man was charged with withdrawing $2 million from an account after a bank in New York confused him with a man who had the same name. Benjamin Lovell was arraigned on grand larceny charges. The 48-year-old salesman said he tried to tell the officials at the Commerce Bank in December that he didn't have a $5 million account, but he says he was told it was his and he could withdraw the money. Prosecutor said the bank, which advertises itself as America's most convenient bank, confused Lovell with another Benjamin Lovell who works for a property management company. The lesser funded Lovell gave away some of the withdrawn money, blew some of it on gifts, but lost most of it on bad investments. The district attorney's office did not immediately have information. Man, that's an interesting twist. You know, if the bank puts the money in your account, I guess it's not yours, is it? This has happened before, too. And I guess the bottom line is just give it back, even though he claims the bank kept insisting it was his. A 70-year-old Iranian man has been arrested, sentenced to 4 months in jail, 30 lashes for walking his dog. Police caught the man on the street with his dog in a suburb of Tehran. The owners of domestic animals are forbidden from taking them on the streets of the city because Islam considers dogs to be impure. A material that is able to self-repair even when it is sliced in two has been invented by French researchers. This story is up under Hot Stories at coasttocoastam.com. It kind of like puts itself back together. It's really incredible. As yet unnamed material, it is a form of artificial rubber made from vegetable oil and a component of our human waste. The substance, described in the journal Nature, produces surfaces when cut that retain a strong chemical attraction to each other. Pieces of the material join together as if never parted without the need for glue or special treatment. When I saw the story today, I immediately thought of that little piece of metal that they were playing with after the 1947 Roswell crash. You remember that? They crinkled it up and it just rolled back open again. You know, maybe. And authorities in a remote Russian region at the center of dozens of reports of UFO sightings have started work on a $4 million center to attract alien spotters. Perm in southeastern Russia is well known as a center for UFO sightings, and many believe Perm is regularly visited by aliens. Now officials want to cash in on the fame with a center that will include a museum and theme park. It will include an observatory for people to scan the skies for UFOs, a special trail along sites of supposed UFO sightings, as well as displays and even equipment like infrared cameras that can be rented by UFO spotters to catch aliens on film. And a lawyer is even planning to open an office there to give advice on compensation to people who have been the victim of alien abductions. I kid you not. Well, we've got open lines for the rest of this hour for you. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And here's the wild card line for you. It is open at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. What a night for things happening. Let's go now. Open lines, first-time caller line. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Where are you?
Melanie from Tupelo, Mississippi.
Hi, Melanie. What's on your mind?
I had a small ghost story.
Ghost story. And you got to speak up, okay?
Okay. Me and my sister stayed at our grandparents' house a few years ago. And it was kind of haunted because we had a friend that came over for a sleepover. And, we woke up one morning and they both saw the ghost walking into my parents' room. And, now we think it was my great-great-grandfather because he was coming back for a visit to his house.
And, Melanie, I can't understand one word you say. You're going to have to slow down a little bit, all right?
Okay. You want me to start over?
Well, yeah. Why don't you? We'll try one more time.
Me and my sister had a sleepover one night at our two-story house we stayed in. We were staying at our great-grandparents' house for a while. We were pretty young at the time, and my friend was there for a sleepover. They woke up one morning.
No, that's not going to work. Not going to work. Try again later. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah. Aaron from Detroit, Michigan.
Hey, Aaron, what's going on in my old hometown?
Not much. Very cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my parents were telling me about that.
Yeah, I got a kind of strange question here for you. Tomorrow I have my plant. I work for Ford Motor Company.
Yeah, my dad did all his career. He worked for Ford, too.
Yeah, well, John McCain is coming in tomorrow.
Okay.
And supposedly I'm going to probably be able to meet him tomorrow. You got any questions you want me to ask him?
Any questions to ask John McCain? Ask him who his vice presidential running mate is going to be.
Okay.
Who's he going to pick? I'll tell you what I've heard. And you ask him this. You sound like you are right on top of things. I've been told that assuming Barack Obama gets the nomination on the Democratic end, and I think he will,
I do too.
It looks like the Republicans are going to ask McCain to strongly consider Condoleezza Rice as his running mate. And that's not a bad choice. So he picks up a qualified, very qualified woman who has experience, African-American. She could do very well. And ask him that, though, because I don't think anybody's brought that up yet.
Okay.
All right?
Will do. You want me to try to call back and tell you?
Absolutely, if you're able to talk to him.
Okay, will do. All right. Thank you, George.
Sure thing. That would be an interesting ticket, wouldn't it? McCain and Rice. And then I wonder who Obama would pick. But it's going to be an interesting race. Of course, I'm looking ahead to 2012 already to see who the candidates will be running against. Probably an incumbent, of course. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
Hi. I got a question for you.
Yep.
You know how everyone uses the phrase, the only way the government's going to admit to a life out there is by a spaceship landing on the White House lawn.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both know that's probably not going to happen.
Probably not going to happen.
My question for you was, what kind of event do you think is going to have to take place? Or do you think it's going to be a scientist finding something? I just want to get your view on that.
Well, it could be leaks. Strong leaks from government whistleblowers. Now, we've had some of those over the years, and there's some good people who've tried to assemble those people. But I got to tell you, let's make the assumption, first of all, that this planet has been visited, is being visited on a regular basis. And let's just assume for a moment that is true and that governments know about it. How are we going to find out about it? How is the disclosure going to happen? Because it's obvious to me that if this is happening, these ETs aren't really publicizing it, or they would land on the front lawn and say, here we are. So it's kind of quiet. David Jacobs, who's a researcher, has a fascinating theory over just everybody else's. And his theory is what's going on is real, but it's not very good. That they're here for a purpose that we really don't want to know about. And I'm beginning to think more and more that that's a possibility. You know, you look at the universe, and we've all made these theories that if you get to be so technologically advanced, you all of a sudden become godlike, and you just love everything in life and the universe. I don't think that's the case. I think maybe the more technologically advanced you get, the more you want to control things. So who knows what's happening? I don't know. how that disclosure would happen. It may very well be like the movie Independence Day, when you wake up in the morning and there are massive, massive craft all over the place. Let's go back to the phones. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Karen, and I'm calling from Dixon, Missouri.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. I have a question about the numbers 1111. I understand that that's something that you see pretty frequently yourself.
Yes.
I'd like to know what Glynis McCants has to say about that.
Glynis feels as if it's a moment of enlightenment, that it's something of a higher evolution of being tuned in to whatever's out there, and that people who see those particular combinations are somewhat gifted. That's kind of neat, huh, as I rub
yeah.
my fingernails on my shirt.
Myself also. Also, I see from time to time, just recently, within the last couple of months, I'm beginning to see 12-12.
Really?
Yes. And three threes, three, three, three. Those two combinations of the 12-12 and the triple threes is not as often as the 11-11. And another thing that has been popping up just in the last 3 weeks is my mother's birth date, which is 11-13.
Don't you sometimes just shake your head when you see those numbers pop up like you expect
it's
now?
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, every time I turn around, it's like there's 11-11 again. There it is. What does that mean?
Yep. Absolutely. Thanks, Karen. Let's go to our wild card line. Good morning. Good evening. Hi.
Hello. Am I on?
You sure are.
Hey, very good. Yeah, this is like a great forum for this. In about 95, I used to live in Medina, about a block away from, or a block or so away from Bill Gates' compound. And one evening I was out having a cigarette and, you know, trying to hide the fact that I was smoking from my kid. And, I'm up the driveway in a bit and smoking this cigarette. My wife's in the house and I remember seeing this very strong, bright, narrow, tight light that looked almost like a helicopter when they're searching for somebody.
Right.
And it kept kind of circling around and kind of aiming, I don't know, just kind of circling back and forth. And I kind of stared at it while I smoked my cigarette and I thought to myself, that's kind of odd. That must be a helicopter or a plane or something. And then I thought to myself, it's completely silent outside. And I thought, that is just bizarre. If it was a helicopter, you'd hear it. I mean,
well,
it was 11 o'clock at night.
We do have some silent helicopters now.
Do we? Maybe that's all it was. This was probably 90, I'm trying to think how old my kid is, probably in the early to mid-90s. And I remember thinking, there's no way that beam can be that tight and me not hear some type of aircraft. And so I ran in and told my wife, I said, you got to come out and see this. There's this light out here, but yet there's no noise around it. And it's peering around through the fog, and the sail's kind of foggy. And she didn't want anything to do with it. And I wondered if you know, maybe that was some type of E.T. probing around and getting near the home of the richest man in America. If I don't know, that was the closest I'd ever come to what I would consider some type of strange experience, and wonder what your thoughts were.
Maybe Bill Gates is an E.T. It's always that possibility. Look, hey, absent the knowledge that we had silent helicopters then, I probably would have thought the same thing you did. Something very strange is going on there. But we did have them during that period, and we do have them now. We have a technology that cancels out the sound, and that probably was it, I think. That's my guess. Why it was flying around in the Bill Gates region, who knows? Maybe he requested it. You never know. You never know. You know, we're going to continue with open lines this hour. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. By the way, Friday night, the program will originate out at our affiliate in Seattle, KVI. There's a little meet and greet for me there. You might want to go to the KVI website, just Google search that or Yahoo search it or however you search, and take a look at that, those of you in the greater Seattle area, and come on by. I think they're cutting it off at a certain amount of people, though. So, and then I'm going to do the program and come back to Los Angeles. Simple as that. So I'll be back in a moment. Open lines will continue for the rest of this half hour. And any of you ever get money put into your bank account by the bank, and did you have to give it back? Or were we able to keep it? We'll be back. Special hello tonight to Coast guest John Lear, who's hanging around the NighthawkZone.com tonight. Hi, John. Hope all is well. I had a conference several months ago. You're looking great, by the way. Hey, producer Tom and I and Lisa were kicking around the idea of certain people coming on the program during that first hour. I was thinking about Julie Andrews, you know, but she had an operation on her voice, on her vocal cords, I think. And if anybody has any updates on just how she's feeling, kind of let us know. I just thought of that today, that great movie, Mary Poppins, you know, where that super supercalifragilisticexpialidocious was in there. She would just be a great guest, but I don't know how she's feeling. So we're going to have to check into that. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Open lines now, right to the top. Wild card line, you are on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good evening, George.
Hi, thanks for calling.
This is Alex from Fort Hancock, Texas.
Hello, Alex.
I'm fascinated with cryptozoology.
Yes.
I was wondering if you had heard any more information on Tahoe Tessy, the alleged mosasaur that lives in Lake Tahoe.
You know, I have not. We put in a call, strangely enough, to Lauren Coleman, who's one of our cryptozoologists, and have not asked him that question yet, but I will when we get a hold of him. Tell me a little bit about what you're hearing.
I haven't heard anything recently. My first knowledge of Tahoe Tessy was in 1985 on national television, CBS This Morning. One of the reporters spoke about how a retired policeman who lived there and would water ski actually reported seeing this creature that would circle around him. And since several other people from around the United States would vacation there at Lake Tahoe, they had also reported seeing some sort of creature in the shallow areas of the water that would appear occasionally. They had no idea what it was, and it was very disturbing to them to see this unknown creature.
And this has been reported to look like a serpent-type reptile.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
A horrible monster.
Something like that. Yes.
I think it's real. I think there's something out there.
I do, too. I just hadn't heard anything recently. I tried the Internet on lake monsters. They have on information on Champ, on Ogopogo.
Not much on Tahoe Tessy.
No, sir. I haven't seen anything recently.
How did they get that name, Tahoe Tessy?
I think it was a takeoff on Nessie.
Ah, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. Although Nessie's a plesiosaur there, from all the descriptions.
I can buy that. I don't think there's a plesiosaur out here, plesiosaur. It's probably maybe a big snake or something.
Well, I think maybe a mosasaur. Mosasaurus?
It could be. You think dinosaurs are still alive?
Yes, sir, I do. In New Guinea and the islands of the Guinea Islands, there's supposed to be pterodactyls out there.
Well, you know, there could be pterodactyls flying around North America, too.
Yes, sir.
We get these huge Thunderbird stories.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, George.
Okay, zoology, actually. First-time caller line. Hello there.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking.
My name is Robert, and I'm calling from Rolla,
Missouri.
And oddly enough, I get the show on 1100, WOAI.
It's all over the place, but you do. You're picking it up down that way. Okay.
I am picking it up that way. And I believe you probably picked a good week to be on the West Coast.
Why? Weather's bad?
They're talking about snow and ice again this morning. And,
well, it is Feb, you know.
It is Feb, and you just deal with it. A couple of random thoughts real quick. First of all, the bumper music you run is very interesting. I don't know who does it, but I think there's actually an art to bumper music. I really do. You went out with Rush, and you came in with Life is So Strange, and I can't think of the name of the artist. Second of all, the gentleman that does the voiceovers that has got such a deep voice, he has got such a wonderful voice. I don't know the man's name.
Ross Mitchell.
He has got, I guess, what do you call it? $1 million pipe?
$1 million. You know, I've had Ross on the program before, and he hosted for me once. He does a great job. You know, he's only about 4 feet, too. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah,
I also,
it's incredible.
I also, one of the wonderful things about radio, and living in Missouri, I should know this, but I don't even know what you look like. And well, it's the imagination.
Okay, well, I want you to describe me. Come on.
No, I'm not going to do
just
that.
Just for the audience. They're probably going, what's he think he looks like? Come on. Please?
Okay, here we go. Right.
I won't be offended.
Okay, you're 55-ish?
I'm 57.
Okay. I see a slender man who's about, I don't know, 5'11".
Okay.
165-70, dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
And facial features, I don't really know if I can actually, I don't know, darkish complexion?
Olive,
okay. That's about as good as I can
get on
that.
That's pretty good. You're doing, now, is this something you're feeling, or are you remote viewing me? What are you doing?
I don't believe I
just saw you. I just saw you whisk by the studio.
Well, since I'm sleeping in a tractor trailer for the next hour, that was a very quick trip to the West Coast.
I got to tell you, you're very close. I'm almost 6 feet, 182 pounds. I have a black mustache and dark hair. So you're in dark complected. I've got olive skin.
I did not see the mustache.
Yep, it's there. Been there since I was three.
Your mother must have been very proud.
Yeah, right. So my sisters look just like me, too, by the way.
Oh, hopefully your sister's not listening, because she's, I'm hoping, does not have a mustache.
Yes, she does.
The reason I called is it must be interesting going from St. Louis to the West Coast. I'm sure there's cultural differences as well as weather and things of that nature. But I heard a story tonight on the news about a man that is suing his next-door neighbor because his next-door neighbor's redwood trees are blocking the sun from letting the sun do their job on his solar panel.
That is so correct. He is doing that.
And the judge sided with the man with the solar panels. Now, I am so blessed that I live in a very, very small, remote community in southwest Missouri. And my closest neighbor is about a quarter of a mile, and that's as close a neighbor as I will ever have. But I'm guessing the redwood trees were there before the man and the solar panels.
I think the redwood trees were there before those two were even born.
Well, I cannot believe that a judge would make a man cut down trees on his own property. See, that's just something that is so foreign to me. And I can't believe, and not that I understand the Sierra Club all the time, but I can't believe that somebody like that wouldn't come to this man's rescue and say, you know, these trees were here before these two guys were here, as you said. And where does this lead as far as the legal profession, as far as me and you as neighbors and, you know, my tree or my antenna or whatever. I just don't understand that particular lawsuit.
No, I agree with you. You know, and the tree is the shading, of course, his solar panels, and the judge believes, you know what, it's in the way. Cut it down. I agree with you. You know, I think if somebody's got that on his property, albeit let's say the leaves of the tree aren't hanging in the guy's driveway and he's got to move it in order to get through, that's different. But in this case, it really isn't. The redwood trees, I think, should stay. Let's go to west of the Rockies.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
George?
Uh-huh.
All right. You wanted to know how to get in touch with Julie Andrews.
Okay. Yes, you know.
Her MD is Dr. Herbert.
Hold on. Don't give out his full everything, because I'm going to put you on hold if you want to get the specifics, okay?
No,
and then
we'll
grab it too.
I'm just telling you that the doctor is
everybody
located
called a doctor
in Century City.
Okay.
Point number two, and I have three altogether.
Sure.
In 1948 or thereabouts, Life magazine carried an article about the underground cities of Siberia. And the people lived underground, I'm assuming, to stay warmer, and they were extracting metals from the earth. And some of these UFOs could be coming from these underground cities.
You're absolutely right, and I did not know about this Life magazine article. I got to look that up if
Please
I can find
do.
It. That's fascinating.
The third thing, and by the way, my name is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
From Ocean Shores, Washington. And my house is two long blocks from the Pacific Ocean. The air here is always clean. It was clean on Friday, as usual. Saturday, it was so dirty, I thought something was on my windshield. Sunday, it was dirty. Monday, Tuesday, it was dirty. And today, if I looked at a tree a third of a block away, I could see the dirt in the air between where I was standing and the tree.
I bet there's some kind of dust storm in China or something.
I thought it was coming from the satellite that we're going to shoot down.
No, I don't think it. No, I don't think it was that. There's probably some kind of massive dust storm somewhere. We can check that. That's easy.
And there was no odor.
Okay.
So thank you very much. And, George, something I like about you so much is you are always polite to your guests. No matter what they say, you are always polite.
Well, that's the way I was raised. You know, I think people are people, and you know, I don't want somebody to hang up off the phone feeling as if they've been belittled or hung up on or anything. I mean, sometimes we're abrupt and we cut phone calls a little shorter than some people would like, but you know, it all has to do with how many people I've got on hold and how long the guy's story's been going on and things like that. Like that poor caller who just called us right at the top of the hour. I mean, I just couldn't understand what she was saying, you know, and maybe she can call back with a clearer phone or something. So let me ask you one Julie Andrews question, if you know it. Do you know how her voice is?
I know nothing about her. I have lived up here for 20 years, but Herbert Tanney was my physician, and he was so proud that Julie Andrews was his patient. But I read in the newspaper when I was up here that Elizabeth Taylor was also his patient.
He's got them all.
Oh, he was superb. I can only tell you, having been married to an MD, I knew that Dr. Tanney was superb.
All right, thanks, Kim.
Wow, I certainly gave him a plus, didn't I?
How close are you going to be to Seattle Friday?
Friday? Well, I'm 150 miles from Seattle, and the Olympic Mountains are between Ocean Shores and Seattle.
That's always a great view in a plane.
All right.
Okay, Carol, thanks. Take care. Let's go next to Wildcard Line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
This is Bob from Chicago.
Hey, Bob.
George, what's your take on this Area 51, where they supposedly have UFOs hidden and some aliens? Why haven't more military people come forward and you know, let us know that, in fact, there are aliens, there are UFOs? I mean, over all these years and all the military people that have worked there, from what I understand, there's only a few that have come forward and said, yes, they do have aliens at Area 51.
Right, and craft, and we've reversed engineered things. And you're right. Only a few people have done that. So to answer your question, why? One, maybe it's just truly a military base. And, you know, there's none of this going on. Or two, they're scared to death. You know, they do have to take an oath. They
what could happen,
pledged to
George?
Secrecy. Well, you know,
I mean, after all these years, after they retired,
they can get convicted. I mean, and believe me, the government, in a very sneaky way, can make life a living horror for a lot of people if they wanted to. And, you know, they are, you know, they have taken that oath. They're restricted for, on what they can and cannot say. I would love to have more whistleblowers come forward, even anonymously,
right,
to come out and say, look, I know there are aliens there. I've seen them. But only a couple people have done that. Right. You're right.
Okay, George, thank you.
Okay. Next up, let's go to east of the Rockies. Where are you calling from?
Pittsburgh, PA.
I love it. What's going on?
I just want to thank you so much for all your topics, you know, like all day long. I'm disabled. I can't get out of the house anymore. And at night, you're the only thing I crank on. From 1 o'clock till 5, I hear you. And then I just want to thank you so much.
We're all family here, aren't we?
Yeah, I want to thank all the people out there for calling in like they do and all the different topics, especially like the, I'm sure everybody does, the UFOs and all the different,
the
different ones. I wonder about that satellite. Do you think, I had a question about that. Do you think any of the government might have strapped on a camera to that thing when they took it off and they took a picture as it hit that
You know, I asked Richard Hoagland that before he came on the air, and he doesn't know. There's going to be some kind of news conference in the early hours. I hope they had a camera there. That would be a great thing to see.
It's aircraft carrier, right? It would have been
It wasn't an aircraft carrier, but it was one of our missile launching destroyers, Aegis class, and off it went. But man, I'm just glad that it worked.
And I'm sure the way it was, say, in the Second World War, I wasn't in the war. I missed the Vietnam War and all that, and I'm sorry for everyone who died in the wars, and God bless everyone. How the guys, when they went into battle on the bombs and stuff, they would strap on different things on the bombs when they sent them down, you know. I wonder if they did anything like that to that bomb, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. Hey, how'd you get disabled? What happened to you?
I just got arthritis so bad it's just built up in me. Now my knees and my everything, it's all over my body.
Oh.
It's crazy now, so I can hardly walk now. But thank you for asking that. Thank you so much.
All right, you take care of yourself.
You too. Thank you, George.
Okay. Let's go next to our first-time caller line. We've got a few moments for you. Hi there.
Hi, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris, where are you calling from? Chris? We've lost him. He's gone. Try to call back while the clock is ticking. Quickly. Wildcard line, you're up. Hello there.
Hey, George.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing? Like you, I was a naval officer for about 15 years and spent a lot of time in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny that the lady was mentioning about the dust storm up in Washington. We used to be in the middle of the ocean, and you would see these things come across. And, you know, you can see nautical horizon sometimes is 35 miles, depending, you know, if you're standing on the bridge of a carrier.
Right.
A little different from. And you'd see those things move across the ocean all the time coming out of North Asia across there. Another thing I wanted to comment about, just it was brought up by another guy. I've also done some interrogation for a military agency.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wondering why more people out of the military haven't come out about Area 51.
Right.
Just on interrogation of prisoners, you can put post-hypnotic suggestion or post-traumatic stress that make people, when they start thinking about things, you know, it causes extreme emotional problems. And I've dealt with some CIA interrogators that are able to do this. I wouldn't doubt that people that work at these installations have some of that being done to them.
I think you're right.
You don't ever hear anybody talking about what goes on at Wright Pat either, do you?
Not anymore.
There you go.
Yep.
All right, George.
We need more. Maybe it's time for another government whistleblower show and to have people just call in anonymously and just tell us what they think. Wildcard line, can you get it in a minute? Because that's all I've got. Hi.
Hi.
I'll let you run with it. Go ahead.
George.
Yep.
Yes, I had a theory, but I'm not sure of the right. You know, the spaceship, they say about 3 or 4 football fields long.
Yes, sir.
Seeing?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what is they're looking at us like a zoo, and we the monkey in the cage.
You know
and
what?
Now they're bringing tourists here.
Yeah, or we're their prison planet.
Right. Well, and they're bringing tours now.
Here they are, just like buses in Hollywood.
Looking at us, right? Look at the monkeys.
There they are. Look at those creatures.
And another quick question. I know you said Russia going to come out with the explosion on the UFO, but I haven't heard nothing. And then Bill Clinton jump up and say there is no UFO, and I'm all messed up now.
Well, I think there's something going on. I really do, and we'll keep pounding away until we get some answers, even if it takes 15 or 20 years. Bill Henry, we called him William on the air, he's about ready to join us as we're going to talk about the Mayan calendar and also the light body effect. Imagine it, believe it, live it. William Henry next on Coast to Coast AM.